This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 268 of the Countdown Podcast, where two hosts laugh like bitches right before we press record. My name is Wayne.
And then try to be all serious.
That's right.
Once we press record until we make each other laugh too hard. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And today's topic is a patron-selected one from Adam Alua, patron extraordinaire at the top level, who has asked us to do the top 10 non-human sidekicks.
From TV and film.
That's right. Not just from film or TV. It's both. So technically today we are doing a TV countdown, so eat a dick everyone who keeps giving a shit about that.
I think I'm glad that we kept the TV bird because now we have this place we can go.
Yeah. We've discussed this off mic, but for these more sort of niche topics that may generalize across, maybe we should do them both at the same time.
Yeah, we put movie and TV.
It certainly has given some weight and heft. And fat.
Give me a lot more options, that's
for
sure.
To my list.
That's for sure. Speaking of fat.
And look, that's basically what we're going to do. It's pretty straightforward, pretty straight to the point. Let's get into the other segment that we love the shit out of to kill off every show. It's called The Recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who?
Who? Who? Who?
Who wants a recount?
Who?
Who? Who?
Who wants a recount?
Who?
Who? Who?
Who
wants a recount?
And now we go to the mailroom. Paul, what the hell is up?
Well, I can tell you what's up. It begins with Gerald, your friend from Two Peas on a Podcast.
Ah, G-Banger.
G-Banger. You were recently on the show, did the top 10, top 5 Tom Cruise films.
Tom Cruise films.
And as you'll hear now, probably a spoiler for the episodes. I'm not sure it's been released wide for everyone. So
yeah, drop it.
If you're a Two Peas fan, maybe skip forward 30 seconds. Dug the episode always, lads, the top 10 dramedies, but I think Crazy Stupid Love is just a straight-up rom-com. Not saying I'm right, but just something to ponder.
I actually had that thought, but
on
the
your
truth
list,
is,
obviously.
Yeah, because it was so serious towards the end with them not getting back together, I actually felt it was... Yeah, you could probably make that argument.
Okay.
Obviously, right. I didn't try to.
I also love that I somehow forced Wayne to break up with Jerry Maguire.
How did you force him? How did you force me to listen?
Well, it was on his show that you...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. He did actually. Yes, you're right.
And then from a patron of the show, Dan is not the problem on Twitter. He sent something which I took some pleasure in. I don't like to take pleasure in other people's pain normally, but this one did hit me right in the feels. Such a bummer. I'm a patron of the Countdown to get early access of episodes, which is awesome. But when Podbean releases the new episodes, I get super disappointed because I've already listened to them.
Oh.
Hashtag first world problems.
That's nice.
As I said, thank you very much, Dan, for that. We greatly appreciate your support of the show. Now, the next part is, of course, the results of last week's poll.
Ah, yes.
Top 10 dramedies. One of the all-time great votes, Wayne.
I did see it was close at some stage.
Every week bar one this year has been an absolute drubbing by one of us to the other. And we're 5 all on the year. And this one came down to one vote, which I won!
And you were ahead when I saw it.
You saw the look on my face.
Well done, well done.
It's 34 votes. You came back. I was sort of 3 votes up the whole way, and then suddenly you got back within it. I checked this just before we started recording. 35 to me, 34 to you. Here are some of the comments that, as you can imagine, were 50-50. Luke James Human said, Wayne again this week. I would never have thought of Trainspotting as a dramedy if you hadn't mentioned it. 2 inspired choices in 2 weeks. Is he okay?
Yeah, good one. Backhanded. Nice one.
Nick Orton said, tough one as I love Hunt for the Wooden People, but Wayne mentioning Good Morning Vietnam brought it home for me. And another also said Trainspotting was a great one.
Yeah, there you are.
Glenn Sutherland says Trainspotting Fiction and Good Morning Vietnam again. So Good Morning Vietnam, huge win for you, sir.
That's amazing.
Then he let the team down with Crazy Stupid Love, so I voted for Paul instead.
There you go. There you go.
Hendo from the Movie Journey Podcast. Sorry, Hendo and Dean. Wayne gets it this week after Paul dished out his brutal thoughts about The Amazing Sideways. I got you, Epic Film Guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you want to hear what I really think about Sideways, you can check out the Epic Film Guy's Patreon feed.
Paul's not a wine drinker, everyone.
No, I'm not. I totally, that film totally missed the mark for me. Troy Spinner from the Great Makes Podcast said, as much as I usually like to vote for my fellow bald brother, Paul takes it this week thanks to his brilliant number one.
Nice.
Hurrah! Thank you for that, Troy. Kia Belcher, a noted Wayne voter, said, Wayne, please, please watch Hunt for the Wilder People. It's so good. Which leads me to vote for Paul this week. Had me at Disaster Artist, but locked me in with this New Zealand gem.
Fine one.
And
fine.
In the end, I love the fact that I won was based on this. Sam Hurley from the Movie Reviews and 20Qs podcast. Good mate to the show. Paul sealed it by almost goading Wayne into talking shit about New Zealanders.
Well, Kia, I will watch Wilder People. I hear it a lot now.
And he'll also be watching Jojo Rabbit very shortly too.
That's right.
We're going to do that for the patrons. So there we are. That's this week's recount. Only other thing to mention is 2 weeks away now. 2 weeks from the biggest podcasting event of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Epic Film Guys live stream for a cure held over 4 days. I think it's 48 hours of podcasting, which I'm going to be privileged enough to feature on at least 3, hopefully 4 hours of. So very much
looking
forward to being involved in this effort to raise money for cancer. But don't listen to me. Listen to the boys themselves.
I'm Nick.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Brian.
We are the Epic Film Guys. We want to let you know that the 4th annual live stream for The Cure is only a couple weeks away.
Every single dollar raised goes to the Cancer Research Institute to help us fight for a future immune to cancer. And once again, donations will be doubled.
Join us May 27th through the 31st for 48 hours of content from creators around the world. Please help us spread the word so we can smash our goal of $10,000.
Please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com to make an early donation and to learn more about the event.
Together, we can make a difference.
The top 10 non-human sidekicks.
Man, that's freaky.
Is the topic of this week's show. Now, it's film and TV, as we have discussed. Was it hard? Was it easy, Wayne?
Initially. Well, I was hard and it was easy. actually, the whole opening it up to TV thing helped me out an ass ton. I had a lot of shit to do. Like I was initially struggling with it. But then, you know, the listeners helped me on some things and I thought it was digging in.
Well, I'm right with you. I enjoyed this mixture of the two mediums and I think it did also strengthen my list. But let's find out then. Wayne, lead us away. Your number 10 best non-human psychic. Okay.
I've tried to go a little weird with this list just to mix it up some, you know, play it down.
I've got a couple left fielders on my left fielders? List as well, yeah.
Okay, well, my number 10 is, I hate this movie, ooh, but I do like this character from it. It's Prince Voltan from Flash Gordon. Now, Prince Voltan...
Is that Timothy Dalton?
No, sorry, I lied. It's not Prince Voltan, it's the Birdman. What's his fucking name?
I don't know, the guy from... Brian Blessed.
Brian Blessed, yeah, him. Yeah. That's the actor, but like, what was it? Yeah, come on. He was basically a bird man, all right? And I thought, because he to me is like Sala from Indiana Jones. He's like, ha, 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 my friend, you're looking good today. He's like that kind of guy. And I always enjoyed his energy. And also, he was actually like initially on Ming's sort of team because he was repressed by Ming. But then he decided to jump ship. And him and all his birdmen, they joined Flash Gordon. So he was a non-human sidekick.
And the best thing about him is also the grandfather in Peppa Pig.
Is he?
Okay, Peppa, we're going for an adventure.
Seriously?
Yep, pretty much.
Okay, so there you are.
I mean, there you go. The price of free was just paid by me trying to do Brian Blessed.
What is his bloody name? His name is...
It's Brian Blessed.
Yeah, but so Prince Voltan is the other... That's Timothy Dalton, isn't it?
I don't know. You might be exactly right. I don't know what his name is off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I'm sure Geordie Davidson would be able to tell us.
Yeah, Geordie can just pull us up.
Maybe David Powell too.
Yeah.
That would set us the fuck straight. You did the research, motherfucker.
I'm looking at it. They're Hawkman, but is his name? I think I might have fucked with his name. Azura? I'm not sure. Anyway, that's that.
This is invention. It's
called the interwebs?
The internet, and it has this feature on it called Google.
Look. I checked them tits out. It just wasn't like,
No, you're right. Prince Walton.
What's his name? But it does sound like the Timothy Dalton character.
I just don't, yeah, it does, because I just didn't think of him as a prince. I don't know why.
I know, right?
Do birdmen have princes?
Oh, you know what? Timothy Dalton was Prince Baron.
I reckon they've totally got those names around the wrong way.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yet another thing that Flash Gordon did fucking stupidly. Great film. That
go,
it
Flash,
is.
Go. All right.
Wayne's favorite bit in cinema history.
Piece of shit.
My number 10, then, moving right along, is also not from a film. It's from a TV show.
Yeah.
And it's at number 10. He is at number 10 because he is the most human of my non-human sidekicks.
Go on.
He's a vampire. It's Spike.
Spike.
From Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel.
Great call. Great call. This was going to go my way. I don't think he's human at all. He's just a vampire.
Well, he's a vampire, but you know what I mean. It's pretty,
he's humanoid.
Pretty close to a human, right? That's why I thought, Like, if I went with my favorites, he'd be way higher. But because he was too human-like for me, I kind of dropped him down that basis.
No, I would
have to make these rules arbitrarily for ourselves.
I know. You know what? I was going to pick that, but I knew you'd pick it, and I think it's a great call. Because he is actually pretty cool.
He's wonderful. Originally born William Pratt, he became known as William the Bloody.
Oh.
For his bloody awful poetry. he was turned in by Drusilla in 1880. And now, he starts the TV show, obviously, as a villain against Buffy, along with Drusilla. And then through machinations, the chip being installed in his head by the initiative.
Now, can we just say that for a second?
Yeah.
The chip that gets stuck in his head allows him to not do violence except to bad people, all evil things.
Can't harm humans.
Right. So that made him kind of an inadvertent good character. And I think that's an excellent plot developer, because then you could allow yourself to like him for being on doing good things.
And then he becomes effectively one of the Scoobies, and
exactly.
You know, he falls for Buffy and has that ill-fated sort of love affair with her.
Mm-hmm.
And is right there at the end. In the very last episode of Angel, he is fighting the good fight alongside the rest of the remaining Fang gang.
I think that the him being a sidekick to Angel, I like very that more.
Funny.
I like that a lot
very,
more.
Very, very funny there exchange.
Really cool.
But even, like, with so many good lines, James Masters kind of really sold this role. Like, it's great writing from Joss Whedon and David Greenwalt and the rest of the writers there. Drew Goddard, Marty Noxon, all the rest of them. But James Masters is so good in this TV show, he's never been fuck all in anything else.
What?
Because he's too good. He's so typecast. He's in little snatches of other films, but he's never going to be, it's very sad really in a way, because I think he's a talented actor. He's never going to be big, because this was his heyday.
This was a long time ago as well. Like,
finished in 2002 Angel? 2005 Angel?
And also, he nails the British accent so well. He's a Texan.
I know.
He's not even just American. He's a Texan. You know what I mean? He's like nailing that British accent.
My life flashed before my eyes. No. What was that? Cup of tea, almost shagged, cup of tea.
Did you do that with him?
That's close. What he said to Giles once. It's great writing and delivered
really
so good. Perfectly.
That's really good.
Just one great example of, and he's, you know, he's a sexy man, like.
Look, the blonde hair puts me off. To me, it's just his stone cold delivery of I wonder if Wendy's is open. You know, just like whatever. He's just walking. It's good.
It's the long leather jackets for me. That'll do it.
Oh, the duster. He does like the duster.
He does. He does roll it, rock it well. Love this character. Love this show. Spike for me, number 10.
Nice one. My number 9 is actually also from TV, but it's not who you might imagine. It's Bender from Futurama.
Oh, yeah. At least one listener had that in the listener feedback, as we'll hear towards the end of the show. Yeah, tell us. I'll tell you why he didn't really feature high.
Go on.
And then not to
please
undermine, but just he's just too much of a cunt.
He's a total cunt.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about, like, this is
like sardonic and he doesn't help out. He's just selfish. I'm like, hang on, that's his cunt.
But it's so fun to watch. Like, he's an alcoholic human-hating robot, and the only thing he can do is bend things. That's what the bending robot is for, right? And his actual name is Bender Bending Rodriguez, so I guess he's I guess he's Hispanic.
I love the Rodriguez part.
I know, the Rodriguez part is funny. But he's what I like is that because he's a robot and he does all the things human do. He drinks like a motherfucker and he smokes like a motherfucker, but he's a robot, so he can't ever be harmed by it. It's like, well, I'm a little jealous of that. He's so popular. He's appeared on Family Guy and The Simpsons. He's been in there.
Really?
Yeah.
On Family Guy?
Just little bits here and there. And he just says shit like, he's talking to like parents. He's like, have you ever tried simply turning off the TV, sitting down with your children and hitting them? You know, just shit. He's a cunt, but it's funny. It's funny to watch. So Futurama is actually a better show than The Simpsons, in my opinion. But The Simpsons has Homer.
Hot take.
No, it's a hot take. Yeah, but Simpsons has Homer.
Hot damn.
Homer, Bender is like the Homer of Futurama. He's not quite as good.
So what's Fry then?
Fry's like Bart. You know what I'm saying? If we're going with this.
So Bender is Fry's dad?
No. That's just the space they occupy in each show. It's just like Family Guy, you know?
I don't watch Family Guy.
And American Dad. Yeah, okay. Anyway, there you are. So, Bender Rodriguez.
All right. Surprising, but I can roll with that.
Mm-hmm.
My Manon is Cute City.
Cute City?
Yeah. It's cute AF.
All right.
Yeah. And it is personified slash no, audified by the line, "My, my, Millie."
What are you talking
at
about?
At the end of Gremlins, oh. Gizmo.
Oh, you like Gizmo.
Gizmo is the giz shit,
man. I guess he is a sidekick.
He is a sidekick.
Yeah, because Spike, or was it Strike? Stripe.
Stripe is the bad Mohawk one. Mohawk in the second one.
That's right.
Yeah. And so Gizmo ends up being this fucking gremlin-killing machine.
What was cool about Gizmo is that he drove that Barbie car.
Vroom, vroom.
Okay, but that was the tits, man. Imagine that, like how good that was. When I was a kid, I had a little car that was motorized with a 9-volt battery. Ooh. And it worked for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it fucked up. But the idea of me having my own miniature car is the fried ball sack, man.
Even my daughter has tried that one on.
Really? She's like, but she's probably got the tech now. There's probably cars you can get like that.
She watches these fucking YouTube channels where kids are playing in really expensive cars. She's like, "I want that one." I'm just like, "You fuck no."
You will outgrow that in 30 seconds.
$3,000 or what? It's not, I'm exaggerating.
No, they're a lot of money. But now they've got horns and bloody well fucking Apple CarPlay and shit.
Apple CarPlay.
I don't know, man. I've seen some fucking really expensive ones. I'm like, you kids are lucky as fuck.
My car had to upgrade to get Apple CarPlay.
See, there you go.
And I never used the cunt.
You haven't?
I've used it, but there's no point.
Is it good?
When the Bluetooth works fine, why do you need Apple CarPlay?
So you can fuck with your music from the screen and not get busted by the cops for touching your phone.
But I can fuck with it from the screen through the car interface anyway. It's no different.
So, but doesn't it play your iPhone shit better? Like, doesn't it skip better or work better? So it's not better than native any... What?
No. I mean, arguably, the maps is better on it. But anyway, this has been...
Sorry, this is Tech Corner. I like that. Let's keep it in. Okay.
So Gizmo ends up living with Billy and is it Kate? Is that no? What's her name? Can't remember her name in the Phoebe Cates.
Phoebe Cates. Yeah.
Kate. Good enough. Kate. And after he has originally been picked up from Mr. Wing's store, and we all know the rules.
Hell yeah. Else.
Apparently Billy doesn't because he fucks that shit up a lot.
Here's something that's amusing. In the first Gremlins movie, right? So he goes into that guy's store, the old Asian man's store. And then at the end, when the Asian man comes and takes Gizmo away again,
he says, "Bye, bye, Millie."
He does that. But then the Asian dude admonishes Billy's dad and Billy by saying, "You let him do this. Hi-yo!"
What's that mean?
It means cunt. No, it means like, it means like,
I wish you had a roll out of that. I really did. What? That would be so awesome. It just means cunt. My number eight.
No, my folks used to say that all the time. It's a real, I get. I want to say.
What is it again?
Ayo.
I thought it was hey ya. I'm like, oh, isn't that a fucking
no,
outcast
if I had to
song?
Spell it, it's A-I-Y dash Y-O-H, but you elongate. Ayo. Okay, you do that. Right?
So it's an admonishment.
It's like that, but a bit more, right? So it's like, it's really disapproving.
All right.
That's what it is. Ask Patsy. It's from Singapore. It's kind of from Singapore.
From Singapore or from China?
Nah, well, my folks are from Singapore and they did it, so I'm assuming it's definitely prevalent there.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, there you are. Sorry. Yeah,
very nice. This has been Language Corner.
Cultural Crab with Paul and Wayne.
One brown man, one white man, teaching one white man one phrase at a time.
No, you know what? I know the name of that show. It's Spectacular Vernacular with Paul and Wayne. Shit. Okay.
Tell me you wouldn't listen to that show.
Come on.
Come on.
Like half of come for on. A minute.
In fact, the countdown is finishing in 3 weeks. Coming soon to a radio near you, Spectacular Vernacular.
Yeah, 3 whole episodes before we run out of shit to talk about.
We'd have to do research, so fuck that. Moving on, your number 8.
My number 8 is a bit of a toss-up, but I'm going to go with this guy here, Commander Data. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is a little bit of a obvious choice, and I was going to go...
Sometimes... But that said, it does surprise me, because I think you did give me shit about liking Star Trek.
No, the problem we have with Star Trek is that I like TNG more than the original, and you think I'm insane. So, The Next Generation is actually where I like Star Wars. We got ourselves some Picard, we got ourselves all these other crackers, but Data... Now, Data got cooler as he went on because he was an android and he became a Starfleet officer, and apparently he can fuck really well because there was this episode where that ex-Playboy person who was in TNG, they got together and stuff, and they're like, it's all well known. But what's even cooler is that later on he got this chip fused into his like fucking brain, which allowed him to have emotions. And in the later Star Wars bits, he's actually like on patrol with all of the humans, and it's like... Data's like, oh my god, I feel scared. What's going on here? And then Picard's like, well, this is going to be quite hard, Data. You made it turn off your emotion chip. And he just cocks his head and goes, done, sir. And then Picard looks at him and goes like, there are times when I envy you, Data. And I'm like, yeah, that's so cool. You got an android with you that can turn off his emotions. Plus, if he dies, fuck it. He's an android. It's really, really cool. So
you
one guy talking.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Was that very odd, that whole thing? Is that what was going on? Or are you just waiting around to play a sound?
I was waiting. All right. Well, thank you for that one. It does surprise me you're there. But I'm also going TV and I'm also going sidekick from a sci-fi show.
Word.
I'm going K-9 from Doctor Who.
Ah, no.
K-9!
Now, tell me who K-9
is. Doctor Who.
Because I'm not really familiar with Doctor Who that much. Is it the later ones, the earlier
ones?
Well,
it's a mechanical dog.
Ah.
Which I would have thought would get you barking up the right
post. All right, if you want to go with that. That's possibly the case.
It was created by someone other than the Doctor and got given to the fourth Doctor, the best Doctor. Fucking eat a dick. Everyone likes David Tennant and Matt Reeves.
Who's this Doctor that you're talking
about? Tom
Baker. Tom Baker is the best Doctor.
The jelly beans, long scarf wearing.
Absolutely.
He was amazing. Look, and I do apologize for the eat a dick comment. You're allowed to like David Tennant, Matt Reeves.
And you're allowed to eat dick.
You're absolutely allowed to eat dick. Eat all the dick you want to eat.
Exactly. Be like Paul. So, okay.
So it's basically an intelligent robot dog, right? And he has everything. Okay, I've written this down because there's no way I can remember it. His own medical computer, a state-of-the-art intra-responsive brain app, protective anti-radiation cladding, probes, a laser scalpel, which is his kind of his nose. He has a laser fucking shoot.
Nice.
A vision and voice box and two scanning antenna. So his ears do this.
Really? I'd like a dog like that.
Who fucking wouldn't?
That's cool.
Hence why he's number 8 on my
K-9.
List.
K-9.
Multiple versions of him. The Mark One stayed with Leela when Leela stayed on Gallifrey.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Doctor had, because he's so fucking smart, developed his own Mark Two version. I think we've been through 4 or 5 Marks over the...
Is there one in the current show? Do you know? Do you still watch?
No. Don't. No? Oh, I don't know because I haven't watched for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't believe so. But he was a big feature on the Sarah Jane Adventures in 2011, the spin-off show.
Really?
Sarah Jane.
Okay. Yeah. All right, nice. So, my number 7, this is weird, this one, but I just remembered it, and I remember how much I liked the character.
When you say just remember it, did you add it right now?
I remembered it like as I was writing this list, which was last night. So
That's well prepared for this show.
Oh, yes. Do you remember a movie with James Caan in it called Alien Nation?
Yes.
Right? So, I really liked this film, right? And it's about, it's set in, I guess, now, but back in the 90s, it's set in the 2000s somewhere.
Yeah, the distant future.
Yeah, the 2020 or something, you know. Anyway, and it basically, this race
the
of aliens.
The year 2000, the distant future.
What is that?
The year 2000.
Is this a song of yours?
It's Flight of the Conchords.
Okay, so it is. Anyway, aliens have come down and they now live among us, and there's like there's you know class differences and so on.
The distant future.
Shut up, shit.
Well, fuck, what I should have done with this. The distant future.
No, we eat my balls. That made it even worse. Okay, well, back to the show for what it's worth. but get this though, right? And in this show, what's his name?
Caan.
Yes, Caan, right? James Caan is a cop and he's partnered with a dude who's one of these aliens. But guess what? That alien is played by fucking Inigo Montoyas. Mandy Patinkin is that alien.
Is he really?
And I didn't know.
Is he really?
Yes. I'm like, what the hell?
And I may have done this in my head and got it wrong myself, so I'm not mocking you, but let me check this while you talk.
Go for it. This is his name in the movie is Sam Francisco, because the aliens all don't really know much about Earth culture and they call each other Rudyard Kipling and stuff like that. But... So
where's Caan, Charles Dickens?
That's well. James Caan calls him George. I'm just gonna call you George. All right. The way that I liked about
You're
this character,
right. Yeah,
it's him, right? Okay, good. I had no idea. It doesn't even feel like him, but he's just really quite cordial and pleasant. But because he's one of these aliens, he's stronger than everyone else, so he can fuck people up, and they get drunk on expired milk. That's the thing. That's like alcohol to them. So it's like this kind of cool character.
But I like that. I like that kind of whole, like, this is something really weird and different. Because they are aliens. Like, why would they have anything even remotely resembling our physiology?
That's right. Yeah. And they just have two arms and legs, but their balls are in different
places. They're humanoid looking.
Humanoid, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, big fan. They made a TV show out of this, which I never watched.
It didn't do very well, apparently. But, yeah.
That's good.
That's a good left field choice. I like it. Thank you, sir. My number 7, less left field choice, more what I alluded to earlier. I'm talking Crichton from Red Dwarf.
You know what? I only just recently realized that would be on your list.
Of course it is.
Good call.
Played
good call.
Usually by Robert Llewellyn from season 3 onwards. Crichton is a reference to the head butler in the J.M. Barrie play, The Admirable Crichton. but spelled C-R-I-C-H-T-O-N.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, not bad.
It was a Series 3 Mechanoid or a 4000 series or Series 4000. And he is just funny AF.
He is funny. I thought you were going to go with Cat when you mentioned this.
You know why not? Why? And someone else, I can't remember who.
Yeah.
Really, and not to shit on your choice, but no. I just think, who would you want beside you in a fucking
absolutely
fight? Or, you know, who's going to have your back better? The selfish, because cats are selfish. That's the joke they absolutely play on through fucking every season of Red Dwarf. Or the
selfless robot.
Selfless robot who has been designed to look after you as
there
a human.
Is. There it is.
Clearly, absolutely, you're going to go with Crichton.
Yep.
And I should mention, I did have an unofficial rule, which I wasn't going to pick more than one character from the universe.
Yeah, that makes sense. Right? That's so, just good for variety's sake.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, you know, you could very easily probably have five of your top 10 being Star Wars characters.
Totally.
For example. So, yeah. So, definitely Crichton over Cat for me. Because on that basis alone. But he's also very fucking funny.
Crichton's hilarious. Yeah, him just talking about his nipple nuts and stuff like that. I don't know.
He wanted to become human and he was trying to break his programming and he would take it all out in Rimmer. And if you're going to take it out in anybody, why wouldn't you take it out on Rimmer? So he lies to Rimmer and he makes jokes at his expense as per the hook, line, sinker and copy of Angling Time, sir.
Yeah.
And Robert Llewellyn played it as a Canadian accent he was trying to do, which was between...
Was it?
An American and English accent. That was how he conceptualized it.
Okay, all right. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he had even given up the Silicon Heaven by whatever series it was. So he was actually still just a genuinely good dude.
Yes, an atheist robot. You know what was cool about Red Dwarf? This is the thing that always makes me laugh. It's not this character or the other character. It's actually, who's the hologram?
Rimmer.
Rimmer's the hologram, right? And they would get into some massive bar fight because they were in some planet or somewhere. And Rimmer hides under the like table.
Yep.
All three of them finally beat everyone up, right? Then he gets out, dusts himself and goes, good one, gentlemen. Thank you for your support. He walks out. For some reason, that cracks up the shit out of me.
Arnold Rimmer.
I hope someone out there has been watching Red Dwarf. We've just been crapping on about it for about 10 minutes. Yeah. There you go.
That's enough about Red Dwarf. Wonderful show. At least it was up until about season 6.
And
like most shows, it sort of
jumped the shark.
Apparently, I haven't even watched the newest special. Neither have I. Really average.
Yeah, I've seen a movie of it. Crap. Okay, everyone, my number 6 is Brian from Family Guy. So we were mentioning it
as I've never watched Family Guy.
Have you really never watched Family Guy?
I've seen like an episode or two, usually at your house while we're trying to do something else, like talk.
Oh, it's close enough. Fair enough. Look, everyone, Brian Griffin is a white Labrador, and if you have watch Family Guy, it's a family, and Peter Griffin is the dad, and he's got, you know, kids, whatever, wife, and so on. But the best thing about this character is that he's not like other dogs. He is special. He actually talks, he drinks, he can drive, he used to attend university. but he also has dog instincts, like barking at the mailman and burying bones and shit. And he actually has Seth MacFarlane's voice. Seth MacFarlane said, this dog is exactly like me in terms of their character.
Okay.
So he just uses his own voice. Really, really piss funny and kind of... He actually uses canine pornography. It's that kind of shit, you know? It's just not... That's not why he's cool, I'm just saying. It's funny.
I'm glad you do that line.
It's a funny and human type dog. That's why it's funny. So, you know, if you've seen him, I think you'll know what I mean.
All right, yeah, fair enough. Did not expect it, but it was because I've never seen the show, so...
Yeah.
Understandable. So my number 6 is from the MCU. Who's your favorite MCU companion? Don't answer that because I'm going to tell you mine. It's Groot.
Oh, Groot.
Yeah.
You like Groot.
Yeah, I could have gone Rocket, right? But it kind of feels like to me that Groot is Rocket's sidekick.
Yes, they're a team, yes. Right.
And, Rocket's and then there are other options and the listeners will have some of those that I will run through later. But this is the best Vin Diesel will ever be. The best he'll ever act. Although, asterisk that for just a moment. All right,
okay,
just hold on to that one for a little bit. He is a Flora Colossus from Planet X, the capital of the Branch Worlds, and they are tree-like beings whose language is almost impossible to understand due to the stiffness of their larynxes, causing their speech to sound like they are repeating the phrase, I am Groot.
Is that what it is?
His
name isn't actually Groot. It's just the thing he says.
No, that's all I can say because of the stiffness of the larynxes. The one in Guardians of the Galaxy might be the last remaining version of his species, apparently.
Wow.
I missed that reference when I watched the movie.
That is so. When you create that character, you're baked. You know, you're like let's have these like characters, right? And one of them's a fucking tree.
But even like his powers, like he can grow like a tree on will.
That is why it's cool.
And like, you know, create a cage to, or any a ball that will protect his friends as they fall out of orbit.
Absolutely,
and that's amazing. And he's a cool fighter. That's amazing.
You know what I read? You know, in Endgame or Infinity War, where like the Stormbreaker, Thor's thing, he makes his arm into that thing, right? Apparently, because of their tree type shit thing, that wood that holds Stormbreaker is the most stronger than fucking titanium type wood.
Cool.
So see, that's even cooler.
That's super cool. And the fact that we get also like different iterations of him. So obviously, spoilers, he dies at the end of number one.
Yep.
But he creates an offshoot of himself, which grows into being a young
teenage Groot.
You know, first of all, baby / toddler Groot at the start of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and then he grows larger.
Yeah.
And he's a teenager, surly. Like that's just great writing. I can't wait to see him in number three.
Do you know, Guardians 2, I remember having a problem with that movie because it ended on a downer note, but I was watching like a video about it a bit because, you know, someone dies.
Yeah, okay, but still.
And that funeral thing with Sliced Alone. I don't know. It wasn't bad, but I remember thinking.
But yeah, that they defeated a fucking planet, man.
Look, then I remember the
a Kurt, living planet.
Yes, I remember all the fucking Kurt fucking.
Russell?
Yes, Kurt Russell.
He's looking at me and waving his hand like, what?
Kurt Russell. Oh, that old shit is fucking fly. So yeah. I'm actually going to go watch it again because I reckon it's cool. Yep. Yeah. Nice.
I've got it on 4K.
Oh, 4K.
4K.
Fucking cock.
4K.
Okay. Well.
You'll be thankful for the stereo output of this podcast when I do that one.
We'll see.
Especially when Wayne smacks his head.
As I smash my head against the mic. Sorry about that. Okay. My number five is, I'm sorry to steal your thunder here because I'm sure this is going to be on your list, but this is where it falls for me. Bishop from Aliens.
Not on my list.
Not on your list?
It's a good choice, though. I like it.
Right? Okay. So Lance Henriksen, everyone, is Bishop, the synthetic or the android in Aliens. He is the science officer of the Sulaco. And when he first appears on screen, you ever watch this again and you watch Bishop, he's got really round, perfect eyes and they're a little bit dead.
There was Bishop!
I guarantee I wasn't. But Bishop is a little the other way from Data for me. So here's the thing. Data can turn off his emotions and not be scared. So you can send him in somewhere if you like. And it's all good, right?
Mm.
But Bishop, apart from doing the cool knife trick thing with the hand and stuff like that, being cool shit like that, he actually says, hey, yo, you know, because they want to send him at one stage down this tunnel, which he has to crawl all the way down to get to something and do some shit.
Yeah, to get the relay to bring down the dropship from the Sulaco.
Right.
The second dropship.
And one of the soldiers says, well, you're a synthetic, so you probably don't feel fear the same way that humans do and stuff like that. And he says, believe me, I don't want to do this. I'm synthetic. I'm not stupid. Mm-hmm. And so he actually does do that. But because he's an android, you can kind of count on him to do the shit he has to do because he's still a robot after all. And that would be the kick-assingest sidekick ever, man. Especially since he can survive after being torn in half. So, guy's gangster.
Well, he can
he's
gangster. As far as Alien 3, but anyway.
Yeah. Where did he go? Oh, well, yeah.
My number five is where I had the asterisk for Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm.
The other Vin Diesel performance in my list. And no one mentioned this, so I'm pretty proud of myself on this one.
No one.
The Iron Giant.
I've not seen this, and I've heard a lot about this show.
Oh, my
God. Really?
take it back!
No, man, no. This one and Big Hero 6. I haven't seen either of those two.
Big Hero 6 on my honorable mentions.
Oh, really?
Mm. Baymax, great film as well. But The Iron Giant, arguably better. Very similar now that I think about it, those two.
In my head, is this a Brad Bird movie?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow.
It's his first movie.
Really?
Yeah.
So I got to see it, huh?
You absolutely should. You're a fucking artist, man. Why have you not seen the animated, one of the all-time celebrated animated films?
I didn't even know it was that popular until I started researching one of these episodes.
So it's a 50-foot, I'm going to have to edit some of what I was going to say now because you haven't seen it. A 50-foot metal-eating man, metal man, who's an alien.
Yeah.
And he has a pleasant, pleasant demeanor, comes to Earth in like, you know, sort of nuclear sort of times, American history 60s, I think.
Anyway. Oh, it's set in the past.
I think so.
Ooh.
He says now. Anyway, point being, he does. His eyes change color according to his mood. He can transform a little bit like sort of Transformers and reassemble. He has an innocent heart. He becomes the best friend to the hero of the story, well, the main character of the story, Hogarth. He learns that you are who you choose to be and uses your strength for good rather than destruction.
When did you see this?
Oh, I've seen it many times. Watching my daughter again last year.
All right.
Part of the movie watching challenge. So
I think it's in Netflix or something. I could be wrong.
It's a very good film.
So Iron Giant.
Have to see it.
Okay, cool.
I would add why. And the kicker as to why he's the best psychic, one of the best psychics ever, the number fifth best psychic ever, is in the details I can't reveal because of plot spoilers. So,
you know, I will
don't mark me down because it's Wayne's fucking fault.
All right, nice one. My number four is one that I kind of jumped to my mind as soon as I heard of this topic, and I don't think anyone mentioned it either. Doctor Strange's cape.
Oh, I like
you
it.
You know? That thing has got personality, man. It actually saves him from shit. It even has a dude. It's got like, it actually allows him to fly and things like that. This is, who doesn't need a cape like that, man? I would like a sports jacket like this.
Wayne really would.
Why is Wayne always wearing that fucking smoking jacket? But if it's like, yeah, man, and like it'll block shit for me, make my arms do shit, forget about it. And make me fly. Dude. I'm never late again. You know what I'm saying?
You are a very on-time person these days.
Yeah, same.
Back in the day, you could have used that one for
right.
sure.
Right, but imagine now.
I appreciate that. It's a good choice. I like it. It's funny that you said has Tood, because my number four also has Tood.
Got Tood?
From a TV show.
Teacher the Tood, what's up?
It's Kit from Knight Rider.
Fucking Lou! So that was too loud, everyone. You have to dial that down.
We doth apologize for your ears. It stands for Knight Industries 2000.
Oh, yeah.
And this is pretty much, if you were our age or older, a little older, a little younger, this was what you would have given one of your testicles for.
Dude. A car. Not just any car, a Trans Am, which we thought was a good car, which is actually a piece of shit, but never mind.
No, Pontiac Trans Am looks cool as fuck.
Pontiac is the shit, man.
Looks cool as fuck.
The Firebird in the front.
The fucking red light thing across.
Dude, forget about the Firebird.
The LED.
The red light, LED, that goes woo, 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 back and forth. That made everything happen. It was what made the car.
If car porn had a center model, you know what I mean?
This is it. I mean, forget the fact that David Hasselhoff once wore a leather jacket with no t-shirt on the inside. His character used to do that. Michael used to do that, all right? And I was like, what the hell? Is that
Michael,
a thing?
Why have you only worn one layer of clothing?
Exactly. Michael, did you think you might never unzip that fucking jacket during the day? What the fuck, right?
Anyway. Michael, what if your hair's got stuck in that jacket?
That's it. He was a hairy fuck as well. There's no way you're just zippering up against that. I don't know what decision that was, but I remember as a kid going, hey, he's not wearing a fucking t-shirt under that. It's just zipped up. But
if I may,
yes, everyone, that is Paul's rendition of the Knight Rider theme song, which didn't even go like that. It was that's how it went.
Exactly what I did.
What the fuck are you talking about, Willis? To take your point, though.
Please continue. Because higher up your list, so you have more to say, I'm sure.
Well, I'm just saying.
Because I had Tood. That's why I wanted to finish.
Total Tood,
Michael,
right?
Why are you wearing
actually,
a jacket?
He's a bit of a cunt, without to be sure. Although Michael deserved that. Michael, did you get dressed in the dark today? No. His cool shit was that depending on the season you had, right? There's a little red, like, sort of circle on the dash, and that lit up as he spoke. But then in later seasons, it became like a gauge thing where there was like right. It's an equalizer thing. But either way, you want a car that talks to you. And the car does shit. And the best thing about it was it's like, Kit, come get me. And it would just vroom, drive over, pick him up, and fuck off. Imagine how much drinking you would get done.
It's like the Westerns from the old days. Like,
yeah, you jump on the horse
and
the
fucking horse just comes up.
Absolutely. And that's why this is the coolest thing ever. Plus, he can do shit with the car. The car can actually do shit like turbo boost. Remember turbo boost?
Yeah.
He can just jump over shit. Word. I mean,
I want to get home fast at Turbo Boost. I've had a few drinks, and my lady is waiting.
And they never showed how that worked, but I knew how it worked. Because in Speed Racer, Mach 5 had a foot that came down and just vaulted the car. But in Knight Rider, it was just...
All right.
Well done.
We'll see how high it goes. Good on cool. this. Do number three.
My number three is Ghost from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck off, man. If Ghost is the Ghost coolest the puppy... Books, fucking Game of Thrones. Really?
Ghost of Game of Thrones. Come on. In the TV show, he's kind of forgotten.
Let me tell you what happened.
He's a ghost of his former self in the books.
No, here's what actually got me with fucking the Ghost Right character.
Think about that one, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty good, that joke.
Don't think about it, people. Do yourself a favor and get back to happy. You know what?
Cerebral.
Balls. You know what I had a problem with
sorry,
Game of Thrones?
Sorry. Cerebral.
Oh, that's much better. That's much better. No, in the show, Ghost, apart from the fact that one time Jon Snow refused to pet him before he was going to leave forever.
And he looks like shit. Come on, it's a CGI creation.
This is the best bit of the Ghost character, right? At the end, when there was the big fight, and the initial, who was it? The Dothraki were going to go against all the fucking, like, the undead. They're running out. They're being led by one of the lead characters. I think it was Tormund or something, was running down there. And right next to all the horses is Ghost just running towards this big first bite. If I was Jon Snow, I'd be like, yo, how about you leave the dog behind, man? Like this.
I'd be like, how about you look after my back?
Yes, keep the wolf with you. He's not going to be the same as all the people in the fucking...
I'm saying, he's not a good sidekick.
No, he's a great sidekick because he came back, motherfucker. At the end, the only damage he had was a bit of a torn up ear. That motherfucker is badass. But if you had Ghost when you walked around, firstly, pussy everywhere, all right? Secondly, trust me.
Hey, how does Ghost
because your
to pussy?
Your pet is a fucking wolf, man. It's not if it's a wolf. It's a dire wolf. They don't even exist. It's like
so
being,
by extension, if, you, like had, if you had tiger. A husky... In real life, would you be getting more?
Look, I think if you've got a dog, and I don't know this because I've never had a dog.
But if you had a, if you, so you're saying the bigger the dog, the more wolf-like the dog is, the more pussy you get?
The more exotic the dog. Have you ever had a dire wolf, Paul? You ever met one?
No, but
you ever
the
seen
husky
one?
Would be the closest, right?
Yeah, but it's not the same thing. Everyone's got a husky.
got a husky.
I'm talking about Ghost, yo. I'm talking about Ghost. I'm talking about this is my dire wolf, all right? This is my family's sigil. Boom! Forget about it. Everyone's happy. And they all want a picture with him, too. So I'm just saying.
Bullshit.
But that's not the point of the article. The actual point is that you've got this massive dire wolf. He's the psychic to have. If you walk around with him, no one's fucking with you, man.
Well, that's true.
No I'm just saying, no one. The thing's bigger than me, so forget about it. There you go. Plus, I'd probably ride him around the place. Word.
How can you argue with that? Wayne would ride the dire wolf around the place.
Oh, man. It would
That's
be great.
His number three. My number three is, I think everyone will agree, one of the all-time greatest psychics who does nothing.
What?
It is a psychic which helps a man keep his sanity.
Jerking off? The psychic isn't jerking off. All right, go ahead.
Just side pull. It is Wilson. From Castaway.
Oh my god, this is high, Cracker.
Such a great psychic. He enables Chuck to keep his sanity through the whole film.
He's a ball.
Yes, that Chuck creates, but yet without
so is
him...
He? Is he the psychic?
Without
is Chuck?
Please, don't even go there. He's the second most important character in that movie. He should have his own fucking credit. Wait. I'm actually not joking about that. He is the second most important character in that movie.
Let me ask you this as a shrink yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Were you in Tom Hanks' position and there's no one else for miles around and you're stranded on an island?
I would totally create my Wayne.
Would you? Yeah. And it's already like the ball already looks like me, so you're good.
I would just have to, like if it's a white, I just have to darken it a bit.
Yeah, it's like, can we get some mud on this ball, this white Spalding ball?
And I would just have to have it insult me every once in a while. You dumb fucking cunt.
He's like, what did you say? Just to the ball. Not bad.
And that's why it's here. Some of these characters, they don't make it out. Or they die at various times.
Or
they blow
away.
Up. Or float.
Yeah.
Or in this case, the most emotional death of any... yes, I would say more emotional than anything else on my list in terms of non-human psychic.
Okay.
Psychics.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Because when he floats away...
When this thing floats away, it's gutting.
It is. And he's the way he reacts and stuff
yes.
and lies to us.
I mean,
yeah.
And big shout out to Tom Hanks as an actor.
Oh, he kills.
Selling the shit out of this
kills.
Role.
Man, if he goes back to shoot the second half of the movie after going to lose weight for a year. That's commitment, son. I ain't doing that shit.
Yeah, he nails it. That's why it's my number three, Wilson from Castaway.
Nice one. My number two is where I put Kit. And shout out to Chris Yeaney, who actually gave me the idea for this one.
Yep, yeah, this one was on my list. Well, early on my list. I wasn't sure where, but yes. Nice that some of the listeners got behind it, and we'll hear it a little bit in short order. My number two is the only other sort of emotional sort of death on my list. My number two is the T-800 from Terminator 2.
Oh, yeah, Arnie.
Arnie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. He's not, I guess you're right, because the whole point of the movie is Edward Furlong, he is sort of the sidekick because he's protecting him. And
yeah, I mean, obviously,
really
Arnold Schwarzenegger is a top build. We're not talking about.
No, it's the character. It's the character.
Yeah.
No, he actually does play the role of sidekick because he's the protector.
He's the protector. And arguably, again, even Sarah Connor is a bigger character in certain that franchise.
Because he has to protect her.
Yeah. So the two of them together are the main characters, and he is the offsider. And that's certainly emphasized later in the Dark Fate. But even in this film, as much as clearly, and he should be, Arnold Schwarzenegger is the top build actor in Terminator 2. He's still the sidekick.
Yeah, to Edward Furlong.
It's Edward Furlong teaching him shit about being a human.
True.
And by the end of that film, as much as maybe it shouldn't happen because he's at AI and a computer and whatever else, he's been reprogrammed by John Connor in the future to be able to learn.
Yeah.
And so he learns you don't kill people, you shoot him in the knee. And so later on, he's pumping people in the knee and it's like, you know, hasta la vista, baby. Which, of course, one of the great lines in cinema history him.
Yeah.
And chill out, dickwad.
Chill out, dickwad. Yeah.
Or one of the bits I really, really love is when it's just a side bit when they're sort of having a bit of respite with her Mexican, I think it is, friends. John Connor's showing him the high five.
Yes.
To and the side.
Yes.
Down low, too slow. And the look on his face when he when he doesn't hit the high, he's just giving the angry fucking look.
That.
It's great. It's
I remember when that high five and he hurts his hand. He's doing that. Yeah. I thought that was funny.
But then afterwards, when he fucks it up, he's like, chill out, man.
I
want
to think of that again. I want to look at that again.
It's great. It's really, really good. And of course, how good a thing to have at your side. How good a sidekick that you want right there with you through thick and thin.
Oh, absolutely. I would walk any street, anytime, anywhere with that, Greg.
Yep.
Oh, good.
All right, that's my two. All right, so give us your recap, Wayne, and then I wonder if we have the same number one. I'm assuming we do.
I'm interested. Okay, so my number 10 was Prince Voltan, the Hawkman dude from Flash Gordon. 9 was Bender, Rodriguez. Number 8 was Data from Star Trek. 7, Mandy Patinkin as Sam Francisco or George in Alien Nation. Number 6, Brian from Family Guy. 5, Bishop from Aliens. 4, Doctor Strange's Cape. Number 3 was Ghost from Game of Thrones. 2 was Kit, the Knight Rider car. And my number 1 is Jarvis. Jarvis from the Marvel movies.
Whoa.
What?
You don't have my number one on your list?
No.
Your number one is my honorable mention. One of my honorable mentions, Jarvis.
Now I'm interested to hear what your number one is.
So I'll just get Holt to do it.
Hot damn!
Really?
Wow.
What could it be? I wonder if this is my honorable mentions. Anyway, just Jarvis.
I am shocked.
Really?
Yeah.
What could it be?
Okay, anyway, continue.
All right.
It's a good choice, Jarvis. Not knocking it. Just
dude,
surprise is your number one.
Let me tell you about Jarvis, okay? The reason Jarvis is the shit is that Jarvis is the AI that runs all of Tony Stark's crap. So that means Jarvis can be everywhere. He's in your phone. He's in your car. He's in your Iron Man outfit. He's in any helicopter or any shit that he does. He can literally just go, Jarvis, do this. Or like, you know, like he jumps, he gets thrown out of a window. He says, Jarvis, fire this suit down to me. Skip the spinning rims. It's so smart. It can just make things happen. If you had that element in your life.
No, it's good. It's good choice. It'd be awesome.
And he turns into Vision as well. I mean, forget about it. I could only hope to have such a relationship with Siri. And I can't. It's just not the same thing. But yeah, man, dude, if you're Tony Stark and you got that whole thing, man, you can just rule the fucking world. You probably say, Jarvis, can you figure out this fucking thing that I was thinking about for 10 minutes? Boom, he's a computer.
Then it becomes Ultron.
Well, see, Tony fucked up by giving it a body. What you want to do is be able to be the guy, I'm going to pull this fucking switch right now and you can go, son. So that's that. But then he gets an Irish Jarvis, Irish female Jarvis after Jarvis turns into Vision. And so I understand that choice too.
All right, well, if you totally ignore the fact that Wayne's number one human psychic non-human psychic could destroy the world.
But it doesn't.
Sure.
Well, Ultron actually did it, not Jarvis. Jarvis never did. Jarvis was defeated by Ultron in order to Ultron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he took... Anyway.
Anyway.
All right, point being, I understand the choice. On my honorable mentions, again, going with only the one, I went with Groot as my MCU entry.
Yeah, give me the... What's
my number one? No, I'll give it to you after my recap. Yeah. Number 10, Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Gizmo from Gremlins at 9. At 8, K-9 from a Doctor Who. 7, Crichton from Red Dwarf. 6, Groot I Am from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. 5, The Iron Giant, another Vin Diesel entry. Who'd have thunk that? 4, Kit from Knight Rider. 3, Wilson from Castaway. 2, the T-800 from Terminator 2. And my number one, the obvious candidate, the one which everybody had on their list.
Whatever could you be talking about?
Chewbacca.
Too obvious. I know, I understand.
Chisa, Pija, Wanky Chewbacca.
What the hell is this?
This is how good my number one is.
It better be better than this shitty song.
It is proof that this should be your number one. Are you ready, sir?
Bring it.
Here we go.
Oh, God, I know this
Chewie,
song.
Is that you?
Chewbacca!
I remember you liking this song.
Chili!
Yeah, yeah, it's shit.
It's also proof positive that I have
it doesn't
got the
prove fuck all.
Number one.
You found a broke-ass song from your youth? That isn't proving a damn thing. But of course, everyone would agree with you.
Of Chewy course they is, do. Yeah, as you will hear in the listener feedback, Chewbacca, Han Solo's loyal sidekick after he rescues him from the Imperial, whatever you want, sorry, the Empire's slave pits and whatever, as we saw in Solo.
As we know now, yes.
But he's been with him for, I guess, decades in our time after being presented the original trilogy. He's still there at the end of the sequel trilogy. Countless books, countless comics, countless TV shows. Chewbacca is the heart and soul of the Resistance. If anything, he's the one that dragged Han into being part of this. What better sidekick than the sidekick that drags you to be a better person of yourself?
Yeah, he's fine. No, he's very, very nice. He's very nice, and he's like a dog, so that's good. Look, you know what it was? It was Spock and Chewbacca were the two obvious choices, so I just jumped them both out. So this is definitely valid, though. Of course.
Yeah, I kind of chopped Spock out because he's too human.
He's half human. Yeah.
Exactly. So I thought not fair to include that one.
You know about Chewie, though, right? This I saw this comic that someone did about Chewie. You know how in The Force Awakens, that's when, what's his name, Kylo Ren, Emo Ren, he kills Han Solo, and then Chewie shoots at him from the rafters from up above, and it kind of wounds him. There's this comic where, like, Chewie is doing that, and he's got right in his sights, he's got a headshot right in his sights, and then he remembers how he used to play with Kylo Ren when he was a boy, and he's a kid, and he remembers he was a baby growing up, and Chewie then decided to wound him instead. That was like, that's kind of cool, though, right? So, I mean,
oh, yeah. That crossbow is cool AF.
Oh, that's the shit.
Let's face it.
We didn't even understand. It's so impractical as a weapon, but it's so cool.
And apparently, he's a military leader.
This is what's weird about
this. He's a formidable warrior. He's an all-around great guy, and he's from the planet Kashyyyk.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
With three wives.
Three wives.
Wise. Kashyyyk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Does he have three wives, though?
I would imagine not, because he's a stand-up guy.
Doesn't mean he can't have three wives.
Oh! But I love the fact that even this, I mean, it's very convenient that Han can speak Wookiee when they meet. Like, because why would you?
Well, it's like if you have a secret, like, oh, yeah, exactly. It's not like he came from, like, his father was from Kashyyyk.
It wasn't like they taught Wookiee in school.
Yeah.
Because they're the most important trade language.
Yeah, good point.
But anyway, despite that fact, it's great that it adds to his mystique that he's...
Is that you, Chewie? He goes like this. That's how it goes.
Yeah, along with a...
What the fuck is that? What is that? It sounds like when the teacher in Charlie Brown speaks. that's good.
The fact that Han can understand him and bounces off him adds to the...
That is cool. That is like I Am Groot a bit, where he says shit and everyone knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, well, Rocket knows. Well, Rocket's
they all do now. And he goes, I Am Groot. And everyone's like, whoa.
Yeah, because he has it with a tone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is why it's my number one, and that's sore miscalculated omission from your list.
Sure.
Without going into any detail, give us your honorable mentions then, Wayne, as we wrap up this week's show before we get into the list of feedback.
Cool. Remember the movie Paul? And it was Seth Rogen was the alien. I loved that character. Roger the alien from American Dad. The robot in Lost in Space, the movie, the new movie. God. I loved that thing. It was cool.
The new movie or the new TV show?
No, the new movie. I haven't seen the new TV show.
Okay.
And then I said Spike as well.
Okay. I had Baby Yoda. Very close to my list.
That bit he did with the lifting up the big thing, that was cool.
Baymax, you mentioned R2-D2, K2SO, Jarvis, Drax, and BB-8.
Yeah, cool. BB-8 was cool. Nice ones.
That's our list. What about yours? We'll wrap up this episode, as we do every week, with your feedback on the topic at hand, a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Gidget Von LaRue, good friend of the show from the Retro Cinema Podcast.
GVL.
Ludo from Labyrinth, sidekick to Sarah.
Nice one.
Gizmo from Gremlin, sidekick to Billy. Good call, Gidget. And Christine the Car from Christine the Movie.
What?
Sidekick to Arnie.
Yeah.
It's a horror movie you probably wouldn't have seen.
No, but I know all of it. Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Shaken Not Nerd's Duty, good friend, said, if Chewbacca isn't your number one, I'm a slap a bitch so hard, Wayne will grow hair and Paul will lose it.
Sorry to disappoint you there, dude.
So he's number one, Chewbacca. Number two, Genie from Robin Williams.
I can see that.
Lots of people mentioned that one and the T-800 from Terminator 2. So, Judy, looking forward to your vote this week, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Super retro throwback. Steven said three, Jones from Alien. Yeah.
Oh, the cat.
The cat, yes.
Cute.
Chewbacca, the galaxy's favorite walking carpet. Mm. And Cliff's dog, number one, from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Man's best
good
friend.
Good call. I thought about that one too.
Family killer. That's a great call.
That was a great call.
Reverend Johnny Blumpkin said, Gurr from Invader Zim. Cringer / Battle Cat from He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Oh, nice one. Yeah. Great. Paul, why didn't I put that
and
down?
And Slimer from the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
some old school loving.
That's shit, man. Cringer. New there. Kevin Smith show, Master of the Universe.
Yeah.
He's the showrunner and it's animated and it's apparently, well.
He says it's going to be kick-ass.
He says it's going to be kick-ass. You're right.
Wait. Kevin Smith says something's going to be kick-ass that he's involved
but
with?
But he didn't write it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He saw the people did.
We'll see. Stacey Hurley, i.e. Mrs. Sam, from the Movie Reviews and 20 Qs podcast, said C-3PO Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz and Rocket from the MCU.
Sure. He's cool.
This Empty Glass / In the Weeds, i.e. Chef Ben Randall from the In the Weeds podcast, said Groot, sidekick for Robert.
There it is.
Jarvis, sidekick for Iron Man.
Boom.
And the Millennium Falcon, sidekick for Han Solo.
Well, now we're getting into just like your vehicle.
That's a different take.
It is. Sure.
But to show how popular your number one might well be, Wayne, Emily from the Tasteless podcast, another great show. Do check it out. I'm excited to hear other people's answers. Jarvis from Iron Man.
Yeah.
Debbie Reynolds' magic bag in Halloween Town that follows her around. And my personal favorite response this week, the champagne in Wild Things.
You know what? Not one three-way joke this whole show. Whoa, so here you are.
That's a bingo.
Very nice. Michelle D. I do need to apologize, Michelle, who was questioning whether it was because at Gangkok Mitch, I wasn't sure if it was.
What?
This is a patron to the show, new patron show, yeah. And I had mistakenly said maybe it was Mikkel, but no, it's Michelle D.
Ah.
Three, Dory from Finding Nemo. Mm-hmm. Donkey from Shrek.
Oh, yeah, don't give it. Yeah,
definitely,
yeah.
Yep. And Chewbacca at number one.
Nice.
From, well, you say that, copyright, Jones from Alien, Gort from the Day the Earth Stood Still. From
yep, the big thing, yep.
And Dog from Mad Max 2, the blue healer, yep. Whiskey Jack said K-9, Barf from Spaceballs.
Yeah.
A lot of people said that one.
I was wondering if they were going
to. And Chewbacca again. And over to the Facebook community, Chris Yinney, high-level patron of the show, said Gromit from Wallace and Gromit.
Okay.
Samwise Gamgee from the Lord of the Rings films.
Mm-hmm.
And Kit as his number one.
Very nice. There it is.
Etienne Fillion Savé said R2-D2.
Mm-hmm.
The supporting cast of Toy Story. So take your pick out of Rex, Ham, Mr. Potato Head, Slinky Dog, Jesse, and Wilson from number one. What's his number one?
Number one. Wow. Away.
Thank you, Etienne. David Powell, top level patron to the show, good friend, moderator now of the group. Thank you, David, for stepping up to help out in that regard.
Bruh.
Falcor from The Neverending Story.
Yeah, that's. I would have gone that way with The Neverending
Story. K2SO from Rogue One and Chewbacca. Once again, who else, he says, for number one. Who else indeed, sir? Who else indeed?
You know who else I kicked out? I kicked out Sonny from iRobot. I thought he was cool.
Yeah. Alan Tudyk as well.
That's amazing.
Josh Ragland had Bender from Futurama. There you are.
Boom.
Baymax from Big Hero 6 and Chewie from Star Wars. Duh.
Yeah.
Stephen Burns said R2-D2 craps all over C-3PO. Number two, I Am Groot. And number one, Genie from Aladdin. Do I mean Robin Williams or Will Smith? Well, that's a stupid question, obviously. I assume they're for Robin Williams.
They both have the same powers.
Kevin Lawler, another high-level patron, sorry, to the show. There's so many, and I'm steering clear of MCU or Star Wars, but number three, Thing from the Addams Family.
Hmm.
Two, Barf from Spaceballs. Number one, Wilson from Castaway.
He's popular. You're going to win.
Two left, and to wrap it up today. First of all, we'll go with Tara Mahalik said, Daughter 1 said R2-D2 and Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter 2 said C-3PO, Chewie, BB-8, and Groot.
Mm.
Husband said Chewie, and me, I said Gromit, the child, i.e. Baby Yoda, and Ziggy, who I'm not sure what that one means. It was lovely. The whole family got involved in that choice.
Yeah, it's very cool. Thanks,
very,
guys.
Very cool. And then finally, the man who inspired today's podcast, the choice was his, Adam Malure, top level patron of the show, number 3, K-9 from Doctor Who. Number two, Sooner or later, you'll mess with a Reaper from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. And number one, Chewbacca, the greatest psychic of all time. Hooray! That is the end of this week's listener feedback. Thank you to everyone who got back to us. I'm sorry, guys, if we missed out on yours. We couldn't possibly get through them all. It's a great problem to have, and we really, truly appreciate your support.
Big time.
All right, Wayne, how do listeners let us know their choices each week and give feedback on the show?
Sure. Search for The Countdown on the Google machine. The Countdown Podcast. And send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at @TheCountdownPC. You can follow us on Podbean, like individual episodes, and leave comments there. Check out ccradio.com.au for other great Australian podcasts and the Facebook listener community. Link is in the show notes if you want to get involved in the conversations about the episodes and indeed anything film and TV.
Hell yeah.
Through the course of the week. All right, Wayne, what's happening next week then for episode 269, dudes?
We are totally going to count down the top 10 time travel films.
Time travel films, it is. We have never touched this topic.
No, which is a kind of a weird thing.
It should be an obvious number one. After that, it might be very, very
we'll see.
Open
we'll
slather.
See.
I'm sure Wayne will completely neglect the best number one as he did this week.
We'll see, motherfucker.
You can't handle the truth.
That is it for today. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 268 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Vindication!
For all the chewy votes.
Celebrating a little early, but okay. All right.
Good spin. Well played, sir. Can't knock it. We'll wrap it up there. Catch you next time.
Thank you.